This past Wednesday marks the 47th year of legalized abortion in our country, which accounts for at least 61,600,000 abortions, according to the Guttmacher Institute. So the scourge of abortion has done an incredible harm to our world. We all are aware of that. How many of our peers, yours and mine, have had their lives snuffed out? How many potential friends we have perhaps never had? How many brilliant minds have been lost? The loss of life is staggering. We've killed more people by illegal abortion in our country than all American wars combined. In fact, if you multiply the number of Americans killed in action by 56 times, you get close to the destruction that abortion has caused. The right to life is fundamental. It's at the root of what it is to be human. If life is not protected, especially in the womb, then every right is in jeopardy. There are many who profess themselves Christians, Catholics among them, who support and even promote legalized killing of children in the womb. Now, some may point to cases of rape or incest, which accounts for less than 2% of abortions, by the way, or even cases where the mother's health is at risk as legitimate reasons to keep abortion legal. While we can perhaps sympathize with their reasoning, even though it's erroneous, it comes from a place of misguided compassion or sympathy. Such arguments used to support abortion are in no way based on sound logic. There's no basis in scripture or in Christian doctrine which makes room for abortion even in these difficult cases. The principle of double effect may come into play in tubal pregnancies or similar circumstances, but in no way can abortion be compatible with the Christian life. We ought to prevent crimes against women, there's no question of that. That goes without saying. But asking or allowing parents to kill their child is no way to support them. Abortion kills babies and it hurts women. That's the undiluted truth. Now, this may not be a popular truth in our day or a convenient one. Some may say that St. Paul today tells us, as he calls for unity and no division in our second reading, to not do this. But what are we to be united around? He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, that there be no divisions among you. But are we not to be united around Christ? By holding fast to Christ, we remain united. And any idea that we should keep quiet or neutral to avoid provocation or division around the crime of abortion is a gross misunderstanding and misreading of Scripture. We must always oppose any error, and one so clearly harmful and egregious as abortion must be vigorously opposed in our lives. You cannot support the legal killing of children and the union with Christ. You can't have one and at the same time have the other. For those who have been misguided on this issue, correction is of course needed. This is part of the spiritual works of mercy. Instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, admonish the sinner. It is simply not the case that one can hold that abortion is okay in general or in some circumstances, and at the same time consider themselves in union with Christ and His Church. Now, I don't tell Catholics this to provoke anyone. I do not say it to create division or to threaten someone's Catholic identity. It is simply a fact that you cannot hold such views and be fully united to Christ. It is not I who am dividing, but those who would hold such a position have divided Christ's body. Now, of course, we must understand that there are Catholics who believe that they can support abortion and still be in good standing. How, we might ask? How can they do this? I would guess that in most cases, the vast majority, it has to do with some terrible personal experience that they have had, that they've undergone in their own life or in the life of a loved one. Maybe they or someone they love felt trapped by an unwanted pregnancy, and abortion seemed like the only answer, the only option. Perhaps the many lies that are often used to cloud the moral clarity on this issue did just that. They clouded the issue. It's not a child until it has a heartbeat, or until it's in the second trimester, or until it's born. All false, all bad science, but believed by those who are looking for anything to hold on to when they are afraid or unsupported or misinformed. If we were talking about an endangered species, for instance, no one would reason that way. No one would say, yeah, that makes sense. No one would accept such arguments. We protect the eggs of endangered birds because they're the beginning of life. In the fertilized egg, the baby bird's life is present. Why don't we accept as equally true that a human embryo is just that? It's a child. It's a baby. There's no question. It's beyond dispute, scientifically, morally, or from any other perspective, any other standpoint. So the goal of this homily is not to villainize those who support abortion. Rather, firstly, I wish to warn anyone who supports abortion, whatever your reasoning or whatever their reason is, they are in grave error. This is not a gray issue. You cannot remain in error without negatively impacting your life and even potentially jeopardizing your eternal soul. So firstly, it's just that, a warning. Do not get angry at the church when she calls us to assent to a truth as simple as this. I beg anyone who finds themselves in that position to reconsider. Why are you holding such a position? Seek healing in that part of your life that needs to be healed, whatever it is necessary, however it's necessary. Seek truth. Whatever it is that keeps you in such a position, whether it's fear, whether it's guilt, whether it's shame, whether it's anger, whatever it is, God wants to heal that. God's mercy is always here for us. The only way we can frustrate God's mercy is by refusing to admit that our sins are there, that we need to be healed, and opposing truth. God wants to help us. He wants to free us. Secondly, the goal here is to remind us as Catholics that we have to have great mercy. We have to have a great amount of mercy for those who have been harmed by abortion and who have supported it. If you ever saw the film Unplanned, you might remember that for Abby Johnson, it was not condemnation that brought her to leave her work at the abortion clinic. It was love, patient and consistent love. Efforts to help change her heart. This paved the way for her to change her view and seek mercy and forgiveness, so that when she had a moment of recognition that this truly is a child, this is a life, she was able to change how she saw the issue. Such stories are incredibly powerful to the pro-life cause. Just as St. Paul was God's great chosen instrument through his own dramatic conversion, so too the voices that can reach the most hardened hearts or wounded hearts by abortion are those who once were in the darkness themselves. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, we heard in our scripture today. Because they speak of their own experience, people are impacted by this witness. So we must be loving, patient, and kind towards those who seem to oppose Christ. This is much harder than just villainizing them. It's much easier to just write them off or to villainize them and say they're bad people and so forth. But they are people. They're people who have lived life, and for whatever reason they got to this point where they have this view. And so we need to love them, help them to turn away from that. Thirdly, my goal is to remind us that we need to support women who find themselves in a position of feeling that they have no choice but abortion. What can we do for them? What will we do for them? It's a daunting task because it requires such a cultural shift from where we are right now, currently. We've gone so far with so many layers of dysfunction, we can't do it ourselves. We need God's grace and ability to work in our lives and in us and through us. We need to offer hope to those who are in the darkness. That requires both immediate assistance and long-term efforts to change the culture. Most of all, it requires a Christian witness to a culture of life. Fourthly, I just want to make the connection with the broader context. Abortion didn't just come from nowhere. Quote-unquote unwanted pregnancies are nothing new. But it is simple logic to see that abortion arises from those situations where the pregnancy is unwanted. And when do those situations arise? When do they occur? Often when people have sex outside of marriage, or when they're contracepting, because in those contexts, there's no intention to be open to life, and usually a pretty strong intention to be closed to life. The demand for abortion arises when the sexual union is separated from its original purpose. If sex is simply a recreational pastime rather than a unitive and open to life within the bonds of chaste marriage, chaste love, then life is not welcomed, but avoided, and it becomes a problem when conception occurs. So it's no surprise that there is a high demand for abortion and contraception when chastity and modesty and self-control have been thrown by the wayside. In this realm, we do live in darkness. We do live in a deep darkness in our nation. Our nation needs the light of Christ. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. To be in the light, we need to be united to Christ. And to be united to Christ, we must reject abortion categorically in all the things which abortion rests upon and create a demand for it. We cannot say that we love and care for the poor, the immigrant, the abused, and at the same time fail to safeguard life in the womb. You can't hold these things together. It just doesn't work. And to try to do so is to build a house on sand. A foundation based on error and falsehood cannot be the basis for lived and fruitful Christianity. For that matter, you cannot build a culture, and it cannot long survive if it is built on a house of cards. So let's renew our efforts to create a culture of life and oppose the culture of death. Let's ask Mary, our mother, to intercede for us and for our nation. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, for banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this vale of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy towards us, and after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God. Amen.